Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 15 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 28 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information, links to social media, or to make a donation to help keeping this podcast going strong. Thank you. Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. We're so glad you're listening in. It has been several weeks since our last podcast, so we're very excited to be back here with you today. My name is Marianne Pischel, one of the co-founders of Rainbow Wedding Network. I also have with me Cindy Sproul, my wife and co-founder of Rainbow Wedding Network.
Hello.
We have Ira Adams, our longtime employee.
Hello, everyone.
Graphics lead, technical guru, R&D guy, overall superhero. That's Ira's title today.
Well, thank you.
And I'd like to introduce Lauren Stockard, new to the team. She's officially our niece.
Yeah.
But fabulous. She also has the title of event planner and marketing associate. Welcome, Lauren.
Woohoo!
Hi.
And Lauren is chatting with us here today by phone, so we're hopeful that that her volume level will work out just fine. I believe it'll be super fabulous, but we will definitely be checking on that throughout the broadcast. All right, so today it is May 31st, 2016. We wanted to talk about a few things that were pertinent for summertime weddings as we head into June and the months ahead. So our first topic today will be about desserts. Some of those will be summery in nature, and then some of them will be more general in terms of ideas for our LGBT couples planning their weddings. We're also going to talk about summertime weddings, venues, decor, themes, other ideas, again, that'll be pertinent for couples as they're planning. And then our last topic today that we'll talk about is a current event that is continuing to be discussed in the world in terms of LGBT equality, and that is the North Carolina bathroom bill.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Fun times here.
We are based in Asheville, so it's very, you know, on topic here for us.
Right.
All right, so segment one will be desserts, and Cindy's going to get us rolling as she talks about a really exciting tradition that some people in certain parts of the country are well aware of, and then other people in other parts of the country have never even heard of before.
I would say most people have not heard of this, which is, like, sad.
Yeah. This needs to be announced and broadcast.
It needs to be incorporated worldwide. And that is the fabulous, the one and only, the cookie table. The cookie table.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The cookie table. We can go on and on. But really, the where this originated and it's still a big tradition. Some people say it's twice as important as the wedding cake. And five times more delicious than the wedding cake.
I would agree.
And that is the cookie table in southwestern Pennsylvania, primarily Pittsburgh.
Woohoo! My hometown, of course.
Where Marianne was born, where our daughter was born, and where we have experienced the cookie table. So the cookie table is a pretty simple idea. It was really kind of a tradition that was brought over by the wonderful Italians and the Greek immigrants to southwestern Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
And when they came over and they were planning their weddings for their children, their brides, their grooms, and they decided that they were going to bring a little bit of home. The old world to the wedding. And what they did was, if you were a close female relative of the bride-to-be, now it's expanded, but way back in the day, it was, if you were a close female relative of the bride-to-be, you baked your signature cookie, your family cookie, your family recipe that you've brought over from Italy or Greek, and you incorporated that into a cookie table. Sure. So there could be hundreds or even thousands of varieties.
I doubt thousands, no, but you could dream.
You could dream. Well, thousands of cookies, I should say.
Thousands of cookies with several tens of recipes.
Right, tens of recipes, maybe. Okay. Now it's getting bigger, though. Yeah. Remember when we experienced the cookie table?
Yes.
Oh, my dear goodness.
Yes.
But there could be hundreds and thousands of cookies placed on a cookie table that was served at the reception.
Yes, at one of the weddings we went to in Pittsburgh, it was not just a table.
No, it was several tables.
It was this entire buffet station at this venue that rolled out into a buffet station larger than I've ever seen. And
right.
It was all filled with cookies.
It was actually larger than the
dinner buffet.
That's true.
It was big.
Well, remember they had kind of like we had the cocktail hour with some light hors d'oeuvres. The cookie table was larger than the light hors d'oeuvres. And then they wheeled out the cookie table.
Who needs a main course, really? I mean, just go for cookies.
Right. They wheeled out these tables with cookies. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's expanded to where if you are a close family of the bride or the groom or the two brides or the two grooms, you bake your family cookie and it is put together onto this cookie table. And so what's neat is when you're eating this, you are having grandma or great-grandma's, signature cookie. And it might be the only time that you have this cookie.
Which is a crime. But symbolically, yes, it's bringing together the culinary history of these two families.
Right.
Which is just another aspect of tying together the family. So it's a beautiful concept.
It was not only scrumptious, but it was absolutely, you're right, the symbolic nature of it was wonderful as well. And so, I would just encourage brides and grooms out there to think about a cookie table. Start that tradition in your location. Because really, it's the only place I've found it is in Pittsburgh. Doing this research Pittsburgh is really the only place that has this cookie table. It is still
going very strong. Oh, yeah. Weddings today. My sister and her partner just got married last year in Pittsburgh. It was mandatory. I mean, everybody knows about a cookie table and has to have it. It's required at your wedding in that area.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is wonderful. What a great thing to incorporate into a wedding. Just something like you're saying, symbolic. And I know when you attended your sister's wedding, you made a cookie that was a cookie that your mom used to make, right? So you were kind of bringing that part, that essence of your mom and probably her mom into your sister's wedding by bringing that particular cookie that you made for the wedding. So, cookie table.
Yes.
Love it. And then, of course, couples still have a wedding cake, but you're too busy being so excited over the cookie table. I know we were that I don't remember the wedding cake. I remember the cookie.
But usually what's done at the weddings that I've been to is the cookies are served at a very different time than the cake.
Yes.
So they're two separate facets of the wedding.
That's correct. And we encourage, although I don't remember that there was any leftovers, but you can, have lovely little boxes or something for take home.
And that can be in addition to your decor, which is fun.
Right.
And I've seen that at a couple of weddings, yes, where they have fun little takeaway boxes.
Right. So think about incorporating cookies, having that as a different time of your wedding cake, and maybe some take home. Although I don't remember that there was too many cake, and there was a lot of cookies.
Yeah.
So we can go on and on, but
we can.
We can.
We need to go out for lunch after this.
Exactly.
Yes, delicious. All right, so I want to now build on this, because we're all already hungry, and talk about flavors of cakes that are trendy right now, and some traditional flavors as well, just to touch on that. Because many couples, many of our gay and lesbian couples who attend our wedding expos, who we meet, who we talk to on the phone, haven't really wrapped their heads around traditional weddings, as well as what the current trends are. They really don't have a clue. So it's sometimes nice to talk about what is trending and what has sort of been the tradition.
Exactly.
Anyway, I have the biggest thing that I found when I was researching the topic of cake flavors is that the trend right now, one of the biggest trends for couples just generally planning their events, is they want to be green, they want to go local.
Love that.
You know, that's a big deal for couples right now. Not all couples, of course, but many of them out there. So they want to go with the seasonal, what's growing now, what can be locally harvested, and so that's very important. There are some bakers out there. There is one of our friends at Baltimore Cakery. We have worked with them in the past many times. She touts it very strongly on her website, for instance, just how eco-friendly they are, which is also very appealing to a lot of couples. What that can mean, what it means for Baltimore Cakery is they compost and recycle mindfully. They use Energy Star appliances. They use organic ingredients whenever possible. They never use plastic for containers, never use plastic forks or cups or anything like that. So that is also appealing for today's couples.
Nice.
So I wanted to mention that. All right, so as far as cake flavors and fillings, I've referred to three additional bakers that we've worked with many times in the past. The first is Mike's Amazing Cakes in Seattle. Great place, great bakers, great team there. And some of their top cake flavors are macadamia nut, hazelnut, spice, poppy seed cheesecake, and of course traditional flavors like lemon, you know, vanilla, chocolate. Cake fillings that are a little bit different are like marionberry and peanut butter. But of course they have lots of the traditional fillings, raspberry, chocolate filling, lemon filling, coconut. But again, if you're wanting to harvest seasonally, then some of those seasonal fruits and such are what you look for when you're thinking about your fillings. Some of their top cake combinations that they mention are like macadamia nut with pineapple.
Oh, wow.
You know, which is really delicious. Lemon with the marionberry cream cheese filling. Vanilla or chocolate cake with a raspberry filling. That's more traditional, but still one of the most popular. One of the probably more unique is banana with Kahlua caramel filling.
Oh,
you
wow.
You know, you really have to know your guests and know that they would like that.
I was going
to
say.
Because that's a little out there. But if you like those flavors, I mean, you know, that's something that is available.
It could be a way of having a lot of leftovers. I'm just
that's
saying.
That's true. That's true. Really traditional would be like vanilla with lemon cream cheese filling. Coffee with a cream cheese mousse or with a rum and chocolate mousse.
Ooh.
And, you know, then there's continues to be lots of unique ones and lots of a few more traditional ones as well to think about. Again, that's courtesy of Mike's Amazing Cakes out in Seattle. Another one of our bakers that we've worked with many times is Ann's Cake Pan up northeastern Pennsylvania. And Ann's Cake Pan is known for their traditional style of wedding cakes. They have been in business for like 35 years or something. They have two generations working their bakery, and they stick to the basics.
And they are so good.
And they do it so well.
Yes, they're fabulous.
One thing I learned recently from them at one of our expos was how most refrigerators nowadays do the automatic defrosting. So when you freeze something, it gets defrosted every so often and then refrozen, which is why you can't freeze your cookies or cakes and have them taste good several months later. So what he does, you know, in his bakery, obviously, is buy the refrigerator, the freezers that do not automatically defrost, which is really important. So that's an interesting thing to take note about. But anyway, they, of course, have the conventional flavors, lots of buttercream, which they can flavor many different ways for your frostings. You know, you can have a chocolate chip butter pound cake with a traditional buttercream frosting, vanilla buttercream, or you can add lemon zest into that buttercream. You can add raspberry into that buttercream. You can have a hazelnut buttercream, either filling or frosting. So there's all kinds of things you can do with that traditional buttercream, and it just tastes so good because it's got just a few simple ingredients. They also have great fillings there as well, like a mocha fudge buttercream or you know, white chocolate ganache. So they have some different things to choose from over at Ann's Cakes Cake Pan. But a lot of times those simple ingredients that we fall back on and we think of as more traditional taste the best.
I wonder, I'm sitting here wondering, I wonder how many people have the more exotic flavors in their cakes versus the good old standard. You know, like, I'd be a good old standard kind of girl.
You would have vanilla.
Yes, I would. Or buttercream.
Right.
You know, chocolate.
Well, a lot of, you know, wedding cakes these days have many different layers.
Right.
And lots of different flavors in those different layers so that your guests have different choices.
Right.
At least two choices, because some people really don't care for chocolate or some people really don't care for lemon, you know, and they get the choices. I also think you can build on some of the old traditions, like the groom's cake. Back when I was a kid and my sister was getting married, I remember with my mom and grandma, we made the groom's cake, the little fruit cake, and wrapped it up in a teeny little package with a little card and tied it in a pretty bow, and that was handed out, and everybody was supposed to put it under their pillow. And you sleep and you have happy dreams about either your future marriage or just happy dreams generally if you're already married. And that's what that groom's cake was for.
And you wake up to a squished piece of cake.
Yeah, that's right?
You don't ever eat it. But nowadays, I think, you know, sometimes you have a side cake. If there's two grooms getting married, you might each have a side cake or you might have a cake for the attendants or whatever. So you can build on those traditions and I think bring in some of the unique flavors, you know.
And Lauren, you had cupcakes
at your wedding.
Yeah, we did. And so I like both. I like the classic, and then I also like to spice it up a little bit. So we had chocolate cupcakes, but our baker made them with Guinness beer mixed in.
Nice.
They're Guinness chocolate cupcakes.
Because that suits you guys so well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my husband, Sam, brews beer, so beer guru and love beer, so it's perfect for us.
No wonder we were dancing so well at your wedding. I did not know that. I had personally had several of those yummy cupcakes. No, did you do different flavors? I can't remember all of the cupcakes.
Yeah, we did do different flavors. So we had the Guinness chocolate cupcakes, and then we had regular red velvet cupcakes.
That's right. I just remember how pretty. You know, how pretty the display was. And that, I think, is a great alternative, especially, I would think, if you want to go with different flavors, is to do different cupcakes.
Yes, absolutely. Cupcakes are very trendy right now because you can bring in all the different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to stop with just two flavors.
Right.
If you don't care to, you can have more than that. And then comes in the design work.
Exactly.
You know, you see on Cupcake Wars or what have you, where they do all kinds of fun design themes, and you can bring that into your wedding too, and that can be a lot of fun.
Cake
and of course,
pops.
Yeah, cake pops. Yeah.
Are cake
stuff.
Pops still yeah. very popular?
Absolutely, yeah. There are a lot of trends with cake pops too now, in terms of you can have glitter icing, you can have, you know, colors to fit your theme. And one thing you guys were talking about is with having the different flavors, one thing couples are starting to do a little bit more is combine a layer cake that you have each layer a different flavor. So if you have a flavor that guests might not necessarily be quite as fond of, you can have, you know, a few different options available. So if the chocolate cake's a hit, you might want to make that the bottom layer so it's a little bit larger, but you have those options available. Couples will also do that with their theme if they have a few different ideas for their cake theme. Each layer can almost be its own cake with its own theme. If you're into sci-fi or fantasy or video games or some of those things, you can have each layer be a little different, nerdy, geeky thing. Some people are starting to integrate their pets a little bit more into cakes, so you can have, and some of these cakes are like really works of art, sculptures with the, you know,
yeah,
Sparky.
They're not just a cake, they're a sculpture.
Right, yeah.
They true. Really are very elaborate, so you have those options available too. And, of course, filling's another area where it can be very fun. If you have, I've seen a lot of cakes, when I was doing a little research for cake themes, where you're finding more of the fillings and flavors integrated into the cakes themselves. So you have each layer a different filling, different flavor there too.
In Dallas recently at the expo, the baker there had lots of cake pops. And you're right, there were some that were really beautiful. You almost didn't want to eat it because it was so pretty, but it was very glittery on the outside of the, like, and it was kind of a hard shell.
Mm-hmm.
And with lots of glitter, very pretty, and then a yummy cake on the inside. I you know, only ate a couple. But they were very good.
I think those are so handy for when you think of your guests.
Right.
It's easier to eat a cake pop than a cupcake in many instances. And especially if you are having a summer wedding with a buffet of some sort, it's just easy to grab a cake pop and feel like you're getting that yummy bit of cake without quite as much messiness.
Especially
if you don't have a cookie table.
We're going yeah. right there, because I was like, especially after you filled up all of those cookies
yeah.
that you have from the cookie table. Because I remember not eating so much of the cake because I was so full from the cookies that we had at the cookie table.
True.
But her cake was beautiful. The wedding we went to was gorgeous. So, yes, there are some crazy cakes out there that are just, you're right, works of art.
And if you are having an artistic type of cake, you know, many of us who don't do this all the time don't realize that bakers have their secrets. For instance, you know, they have a sheet cake made with your layers in the back, you know, so there's plenty of cake for however many guests you have or what have you. So, you know, if you need to talk to your baker about what those secrets are to make sure you have lots of the chocolate cake and not so much of the banana caramel or whatever.
Yeah, that was getting me.
You know, your baker will make that happen for you very easily.
Exactly.
So don't stress about that. Just talk to your baker about what your needs are. And Lauren, you were going to talk to us, too, about chocolates and pies and maybe other dessert ideas. Is that right?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I guess I'll start with chocolate, because that's what I'm really thinking about right now.
We all do, all the time.
Yeah. So just some ideas to incorporate chocolate into your wedding, because, you know, Sam and I are both... We call ourselves chocoholics, so we can't keep chocolate in our house because it's gone within, you know, 2 seconds of walking in the door. So some things that I had researched was a hot chocolate bar.
Mm.
It would be great for a winter wedding or a fall wedding.
Mm.
And for summer, doing a s'mores bar.
Yummy.
Yummy.
Good summer, fall kind of activity for your guests, and it'd be fun because you can incorporate a bunch of different types of candy bars and stuff. So you don't have to have just your regular old Hershey chocolate. You could do a Milky Way bar to put on your s'mores, or a Reese's or a Twix to kind of spruce it up. And then something that I thought was interesting, which of course I saw on Pinterest, because Pinterest is amazing,
doing
a brownie bar. And having brownies and a bunch of different toppings to put on your brownie, and to also put ice cream on it as well.
Wow.
So that seems really fun. And then the other thing that I have researched, which I know is really popular right now, is pies.
Pies, yeah. Pies are very popular right now.
Love that.
Yeah, and kind of like how Marianne was saying, that a lot of people are being so friendly and they're using seasonal ingredients, and so pies are really great. Pies are a great way to be able to incorporate seasonal fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that I had looked up that were popular for summer are blackberry pies, blueberry pies, and peach pies. And, you know, you could spruce it up by adding, I saw some people would do bourbon and peach.
Ooh.
Sounds really good. You can tell I'm all about the alcohol.
I love that.
A pie that I thought was really interesting, I've never tried it before, but I'd be really interested, was strawberry and rhubarb.
Uh-huh.
So rhubarb is really popular right now as well. And then a good pie for the summer to kind of help you cool down and everything was coconut lime pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
There's some good fall and winter pies, of course, you know, sweet potato and sweet potato pie. There was pie, of course, and then apple pie, which is a classic, and some other pies that I thought were really interesting, which there's a pie place here in Dallas, and they do a dark chocolate pie with a pretzel crust.
That sounds wonderful.
So good. Another pie that I thought was really interesting is so good that they make it the blood orange pie. So you can have a lot of fun with pies. And, you know, and also if you want to just do, you know, have a little DIY touch in your wedding, that's something that would be fun for you and the groomsmen or you and bridesmaids to kind of do yourself. You can make the, you know, a pie bar and make the pies yourself to serve to your friends and family.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And you can make them gluten-free. You said, you can have different crusts, whether it is a pretzel crust or graham cracker crust to do different tastes and flavors. You can have the cream pies. You can have the custard pies. You can have the traditional pie. You could have a cheesecake type pie, you know. So that's
right. It's just so great. It's so versatile.
Yeah.
You know, another one of our, I think it was Austin, there's Tiny Pies. They participated, I think, in our San Antonio show. And that was this kind of that type of idea. But, of course, it's like having a cupcake. You have tiny pies. And they could do all different types of flavors. So you could have, you know, however many apple, cherry, you know, the good old, like me, just traditional,
right,
solid pie. But then you could go nuts and have the, you know, some of the other different kind of flavors of pies that maybe were a little more out there. And I thought, that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think pies are one of the biggest trends for this year. I hear a lot of people talk about pies.
That is a growing trend. One thing I
which
noticed,
I'm happy about. I love pie.
You can't beat pie. Are you serious? One thing I noticed, too, when I was doing a little research for some of the different out there ideas, I didn't touch on really much earlier with the candy stations and buffets, but one of the trends tends to be that's starting to emerge a little bit more is the baked goods, pies, little pie stations like Tiny Pies. I've even seen some Elizabethan English baked desserts, fruit-filled desserts that are very similar to the pies in that range. So those are some fun ideas, too, to have a diverse selection.
I think generally, you know, as our society with our younger people tends to be so individualized, you know, you want it your own way. You want to make your brownie this way, and so-and-so wants their brownie that way, that these kind of bars, these dessert bar ideas, easy fit. It just makes sense for weddings so that everybody can have what they want, you know.
Oh, and I think that's awesome. And you're right. You're incorporating your style into your wedding. You're incorporating a lot of, you know, do it yourself, which is great for budgets. Cause I think couples are becoming a little more budget savvy they don't want to spend the $40,000 for the wedding. And so you can have awesome experiences for your guest. I mean, how much fun would it be to design your own brownie and have that to be your dessert?
Right.
You know, you know, so that's great. I mean, have a pie, have a tiny pie instead of a traditional wedding cake, slice of wedding cake. I use Lauren's wedding a lot as examples when I'm talking to couples. I said, if there's nothing better than going to a wedding where you have pizza and then cupcakes. and your wedding was so like, we didn't leave your wedding and run through McDonald's. You know, you're one of the few weddings I've ever been to that I didn't leave there going, wow, I'm hungry, you know? So, you know, because you had, like, food, you incorporated your reception with such a way that it was so enjoyable because you had this fabulous pizza and you had cupcakes, you know? And our daughter was how old? Five? Six?
Yeah.
And she left there worn out and full. So, you know, and I think that was great for your guest. And so much of your wedding, sure, it's about you getting married, but you're throwing a party.
Right, right.
And, you know, throwing the party is a big part of it. And so making it your style, but yet making it to where your guests leave there and go, man, that was the best brownie bar I've ever been to, or those pies were awesome, or, you know, the candy buffet was fantastic, or the cookie table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I cannot think of their wedding and not think of that cookie table. So
yeah, and you don't want to be the wedding where people go away and go, oh, that cake was pretty, but oh, it tasted like, you know, I don't even want, you know. So it's nice to be the one that's remembered for the good reasons.
Right.
And to have the experiences that your guests will take away and think about fondly, as opposed to, you know, well, it looked nice, but it didn't taste so good.
Right.
So
exactly.
I think that is definitely the trend now, is to actually have stuff that tastes good or is extremely functional or is very budget friendly, you know, and all that is so easy to make happen. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. I think that's what couples today are really looking for.
Excellent.
One side note, though, I didn't mention before, on Anne's Cake Pans website, which is Anne, no E, just A-N-N-S, cakepan.com, annscakepan.com, they also talk about some helpful tips for freezing. If you do want to freeze that top tier of your wedding cake, and then also when you unfreeze it. So some of that information is helpful for certain couples, so be sure to check out their website for those details.
Yeah, and I will say from experience, you want to make sure that you freeze it right.
Yes.
Yes,
I can vouch for that as well.
Yeah, we had that kind of same experience. There you go.
So those tips are handy. If you're planning on doing that, yeah, look it up and figure out how to do it right.
And if you're someone who works a little more visually too, of course, as before, we do post some of our ideas to Pinterest. So you can go to our blog at rainbowweddingnetwork.com/blog and get a better visual view of cookie tables and candy buffets and even some ideas we didn't get to talk about today. So you'll see an assortment of ideas there at rainbowweddingnetwork.com/blog.
Awesome. Thank you, Ira. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Like I said, now we're ready to go ahead to lunch.
Exactly. just straight to pies.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have a dessert lunch.
Yeah, let's have dessert.
Yep. But first, I'm going to talk quickly about one of this week's sponsors, and then we will head into our second segment today, which is summer weddings. So one of today's podcast sponsors is Mike's Amazing Cakes, based in Seattle, Washington. Anything is possible within the limits of gravity and physics when it comes to the artistic baked creations of Mike McCary and Mike's Amazing Cakes. Mike and his team will translate your ideal concept into a two- or three-dimensional design applied to a standard-shaped cake, or the cake can be a sculpture itself. Mike's Amazing Cakes will literally take your cake fantasy and turn it into a tangible reality, using the highest quality all-natural fillings and flavors. Past clients include Dustin Hoffman, Arnold Palmer, Julia Child, Disney, Starbucks, and the Smithsonian. Shipping throughout the USA is available, and they're online at mikesamazingcakes.com. Welcome back, everybody. Now we're going to talk about our second segment, which is summer weddings. Again, you're here with the team from rainbowweddingnetwork.com as we talk about wedding planning trends for the LGBT community. Cindy's going to start us off a little bit. Again, I'm talking about summer weddings. What have you got for us today?
Oh, you ready?
Yeah, I am.
All right, close your eyes. Imagine a beautiful green, rolling summer hayfield that has been freshly cut. Can you smell it?
I'm sneezing.
She's sneezing with the pollen. Can you smell it?
Yeah.
All right. How about cocktail hour in the gardens? Dinner on the lawn? Dancing under the stars?
I'm still thinking about the pie from the last segment.
Having the cookie table at your reception in a remodeled red barn?
Yeah.
Where are we going with? Farm weddings.
Aww. So much fun.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
I love farm weddings.
And a live little band playing, you know, like with the fiddle going. And yeah.
Yeah. It's fabulous, right? Well, we live, you know, we kind of live in an area. They just cut the hay field up the road.
Right.
Marianne's still sneezing. But I love the smell of fresh hay that's been cut. Isn't that just lovely? Mm-hmm. And I would assume if you lived in a city, and you wanted to escape your city and go to the rural part of where you live,
uh-huh,
a farm wedding might be very attractive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you can tailor that thing to your style.
The decor that people come up with these days with farm weddings,
yes,
is so beautiful.
And it can be rustic or maybe not so rustic, right?
Right.
But still have that outdoor element, which I think fits in with kind of what we've been talking about a little bit just in segment one with, you know, the cookie table or the pies or the brownies or the you know, dessert bars and the theme wedding cakes and
a farm wedding feels more authentic. It feels more like you've put it together.
Exactly.
Feels more organic or something. And I think that appeals to a lot of our gay and lesbian couples because, as we've found over the years, you know, pretty much we're putting together every aspect of the wedding very mindfully, so it all is authentic.
That's right.
So those farm weddings just sort of add a backdrop to that that fits perfectly.
Right. And like I'm saying, you can have a very, very rustic wedding or not so much rustic wedding, but still have that outdoor appeal.
Sure.
And you can also incorporate locally grown foods. We were talking about that with desserts. How great that is, locally grown flowers, the whole thing. It's just
wildflowers.
Yeah. We had that in another podcast where we were talking about different flowers. A lot of it can be do it yourself, which is great too. Very good budget friendly. I think too, farm weddings can be a little bit smaller in nature, which is great. I also was thinking about this too. I was like, you know, if you're a guest at a wedding that's probably on a farm or in the remodeled barn, maybe, you know, you don't have to dress up as crazy as you'd have to dress up if you went into a big, beautiful ballroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, maybe a guest like that a little bit better, too.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, as the wedding couple, I'm sure you're going to want to be in whatever attire you want to be in. But I was just thinking, like, for your guest as well, that's kind of nice. Not saying you have to be in the cowboy boots, blue jeans, but you could.
You could be a little cooler and... Mm-hmm. Breezy for the weather. Yeah,
exactly. So, but a little bit of logistics with this, you know, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but a little bit of logistics with this can be, you know, you need to keep this, all of it is very doable, but just keep these things in mind. If you do choose to have a farm, you know, type of wedding, barn wedding, is probably there's a lot of walking. So keep that in mind for your guest, whether you're having your wedding in the fields, or you are dancing under the stars, or you are going to the barn. There's lots of, probably from parking to walking, there's probably a lot. So keep that in mind if grandma's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Wheelchairs might be hard. you know,
or wagon. They might be easy. There's a lot of, you know, wheelchair accessible venues these days, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. And that applies to barn weddings as well.
Exactly. It depends on how rustic you're going to go with your wedding, right?
Right.
There's probably a lot of walking. Some farms and barns may not include, you know, as much electric access,
mm-hmm.
or kitchens could be an issue too.
Good.
You know, nothing that can't be solved. Just keep it all in mind for your caterer, your DJ, that sort of stuff. A lot of the more remodeled, you know, that is becoming a trend. There's a lot of people that own... you know, lots of land and are remodeling barns and creating wedding venues. And they are, you know, putting them...
They're upgrading the space.
You know, Wi-Fi is available. But, you know, if you want to have your friends out there texting and, you know, putting it on a smart board or something about your wedding, might not be happening in the middle of nowhere. I can tell you from experience, where we're sitting, we cannot get cell service. So, just saying... Some are upgrading, but some may not. Nothing that can't be fixed. Also, you will probably have to rent most of your items, but that's the fun part,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you can totally create that for your style.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great rental companies that do rustic type of rentals. We had that in another podcast as well. So that's fun because it does not all have to match.
Right.
Remember we talked about that, how everything can be a little bit different or... Different tables can be set up in different ways with decor. So you can have a lot of fun with that. But you probably will have to rent the tables, the chairs, all that good stuff. And this was funny. This was a very common theme when I was doing research is a lot of them don't have necessarily the best of restrooms.
Ah.
Yes. So, but as we know from experience, you know, back in the day, you can rent some amazing, you know, portable restrooms that come up on trailers.
Yeah.
That are not what you find at festivals.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Even with air conditioning, they have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, running water, air conditioning, you're right. They can have bridal suite, you know, little section for you to get ready. The whole thing in these restrooms, they are crazy now, like the type of portable restrooms that you can rent. That's probably a part of it. Again, nothing that can't be solved. There are some noise restrictions. And so, you know, if you want to blow the roof off the barn with your party, got to check that out in advance in case it goes really late into the night and stuff like that. But don't let any of that stop you.
You also need to think about weather, right? Or you know
yes,
about weather.
Weather.
Yeah.
Yes, weather, of course, is a factor. You know, probably having some sort of structure like a remodeled barn is probably smart. That can fit your reception at least. But you could always do the outside and have that as a backup if you want to dance under the stars. But the weather isn't cooperating that day. You can always bring that in indoors as well. So, but I love the idea. I love the idea of farm weddings. I think that's romantic and fabulous. So keep that in mind.
We will. I think you painted a lovely picture.
You still sneezing or can you smell it?
I can smell it now.
You smell it now. There you go, girl.
I'm dancing now.
She's got the Claritin. She's good. Another thing is that you're talking about the rustic look. I think rustic and distressed are in more now as more couples look to create their own unique style. They're a little more laid back. You don't feel quite as traditional, quite as uptight. Another good idea along those lines is in terms of your reception and the catering is a summer wedding picnic. And of course you have considerations. You don't want to have, you know, blankets on the ground. If grandma's coming and she's not going to be comfortable sitting, you might want to have a table for grandma. But that is another great idea to have blankets spread out. You can have pillows for your guests so they're a little more comfortable. One of the great ideas, even in comparison to the rentals, was creating little picnic tables out of shipping crates. I guess they're called crates or shipping.
Like the pallets?
Yeah, the pallets. Oh, okay. That was the word I was looking for. Shipping pallets. So you can have those set up as almost like a little Japanese style. Guests are sitting, you know, sitting at the pallet, so they're having their meal there. You can even have little placeholders. One fun thing, kind of back to the food, I saw was waffle cones filled with fresh summer berries. They've got blackberries and strawberries, and those can be sitting at guest tables as you come in. You have daisies, fresh flowers that fit the theme a little bit more set up in those spaces. Or you can go with picnic tables that are a little better for guests who might need a more accessible seating arrangement or something like that as well. So there are fun ideas you can create with rustic lighting. So you can have lanterns in the trees to create that ambiance. It's a very romantic idea, if you can picture
it. Wow, that's awesome.
What else do you have for decor, Ira, just generally for summer weddings?
Marianne knows me oh so well. One of the great ideas that I came across, too, was for presentation of, like, if you have alcoholic beverages, some fresh or locally brewed beers is a big wheelbarrow filled with ice, and you've got all kinds of beer guests can grab as they're going to seat themselves. If you have maybe a buffet that they're going by, and as they're coming to the seating area, they can grab the beer from the wheelbarrow. And, of course, using those metals as your flower holders, if you have say the old metal bucket or the old metal watering can with the fresh daisies and even dandelions, anything like that that you want to create that ambiance. And of course, mason jars, one of my favorites, with the candles if you're having an evening reception, so the guests have a little mood lighting as well. So there are a lot of fun ideas.
You can also send home keepsakes with a mason jar, because you can make pie in a jar, baby.
Pie in a jar. Another great idea for that kind of wedding was honey. If you have like a local honey farm, to have little jars of honey that guests can take home and remember the ceremony by every time they're putting that on their biscuits. Or
don't you? I love that too.
So there are lots of great ideas. I'm going to cut myself short. I don't want to go
on and on. No, you keep going. We'd like to hear about the decor.
Another great idea that I thought, and this is, again, back to the food, was setting up little lemonade stations or different flavored water. So you have the cucumbers, you have the berries, you have all sorts of refreshing drinks so that guests can grab the drink. Or you have that pre-prepared and kind of like the wheelbarrow idea in mason jars with your unique flavors. And guests can even try a variety of different drinks that way. So set up with the refills and options available.
I love it. That's wonderful.
Why are we not
and you can
planning
even,
everybody's weddings? We can make them so fabulous.
You can even have those water bars in an interior venue just to remind everybody that it's a summer wedding, right? Mm-hmm. You could even bring some of those props to an inside venue, just to remind everybody that it's a summer wedding.
Mm-hmm. Another fun idea I ran across to go along those lines was create your own candy apple station.
Wow.
So you have, you know, the apple set up, you have the sticks, then guests can spear the apple, then dip it in chocolate or caramel or the candied sauce. You have nuts, you have all kinds of options, sprinkles, so that they can create an apple
that
really works for them.
That's a great idea.
That's a great keepsake, too.
Yeah.
Like if you made candy, some sort of apple, and you wrap it up and
Have the wrap fun wrappers, and you can choose your own ribbon to wrap up the candied apples.
Goodness. Yeah. Limitless.
Limitless.
Wow.
That ties in nice with the farm wedding, too. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking.
Well, I know. That's why I was asking for us to expand a little bit and talk more a little bit about the interiors, because not everybody is having an outside summer wedding.
Right.
But you can bring some of these ideas inside to remind people that it is a summery wedding. You can still have, you know, organic wildflowers.
Right.
Even if you're in the local ballroom,
yep,
you can still bring wonderful vintage plateware, even if you're inside.
That's true.
So,
another fun idea that would work along those lines, too, I saw as a fun idea on Pinterest, would be table settings where you have the little, like a little planter, a little metal planter with different herbs. So guests can pick off the, you know, sage or basil if they want to have a little seasoning for their meal. If it's, you know.
Nice for their savory mini pie.
That's right.
Awesome. Great ideas. Thank you. Well, I was going to brainstorm a little more about the different venue options. We talked about, you know, picnic weddings and barn weddings. But of course, there's limitless venue options when it comes to any season, but definitely in the summer because the weather isn't so much a factor most of the time. You just have so many different options. I thought we would brainstorm a little bit more about that. You know, one of the important things to do is think about the features that you want to incorporate into your wedding, and then you can sort of narrow down what venues best apply to what you're wanting to do. Of course, beaches come to mind when people think about summertime weddings. That's a draw for lots of couples. The romance, the dream come true element. The organic nature of the beach setting. There's also that dynamic aspect because you're right there on the edge of something as grand as the ocean. It just sort of lends itself to thoughts of new beginnings. So that, you know, that of course speaks for itself. But there are also park areas, whether it's a woodland park or a riverside park. I've seen photographs lately on different websites where there's just these dramatic photos with couples in, whether it's a rainforest in the Pacific Northwest or just a heavily wooded area. Just so beautiful, that lighting that comes through the canopies. And, you know, you've got your greens and your browns, and it's just really breathtaking. And, of course, there are quite a few woodland-based venues nowadays, depending on your area. You can even think about an urban park. If you're city people, or if cities are your thing, or you met in the city, or you know, went on your first date in the city, urban parks are a cool place to have your ceremony and sometimes your reception as well. And a lot of couples do choose their venues because they're thinking about their photographs. You know, you might be a city person and want to have your photos in front of that wall where there's the graffiti and it's just so vibrant and colorful and it really speaks about you and who you are. You know, you get to pick is what I'm saying. And there's lots of different venues that may apply. There's also camps, you know, like campgrounds. There's just areas now that have opened themselves up to doing weddings that you might not have thought of before. There's even some, I've seen online, some riding stables, you know, not necessarily a whole working farm, although there's some of those, but there's some other types of similar venues that you wouldn't think of that offer wedding facilities that now are offering them. I think it's probably a post-recession thing. They're trying to diversify. So a lot of not just public park spaces, but private parks, private camps or campgrounds, often have beautiful spaces, and they're now opening themselves up to weddings. So it's good to research thoroughly so you can find exactly the place that you want and know that there may be some options out there that you weren't aware of before. And then, as we already touched on, there's lots of people that are renovating vintage spaces, like old mills, you know, historic theaters, factories are being renovated and upgraded, and those offer lots of rustic features or that, you know, amazing creative space that your decor person can just go crazy with, right, or you can go crazy with if you want to do DIY decor with the hanging lights and the swooping fabrics and those vintage collections of plateware, vintage chandeliers, whatever strikes your fancy. And then, of course, there's estates, bed and breakfasts, private homes that are also open during the summer months as well that offer a crazy variety of areas for your ceremony and reception, whether you're looking for outdoor or indoor. Again, so much information now online that we all are blessed with, really. You know, 10 years ago you couldn't do this, but now you can just search to your heart's content and find all the different features that you're looking for. One more thing before I close, again, that you may not think about is some storefronts.
Wow.
You know, your favorite antique store, for instance. Again, you know, the campground you went to as a kid, some of these places are opening their doors to weddings. You just have to hunt online and see and check it out. They might be exactly the space you're looking for.
Crazy. I mean, that's the nice thing. I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier is, you do not have to follow the mold of traditional weddings that your parents did and your grandparents, you know, you don't have to do that same type. We are branching out.
It's true.
We are branching it's out true. Into so many different ways to make that wedding day, to make our wedding day exactly what we want it to be. But Lauren has got some good,
tips about keeping your guests comfortable.
That's right.
And other things that apply to our summer weddings.
Hit it, Lauren.
Yeah, so first thing is, you know, if you're doing an outside ceremony, which I know is really popular right now, you know, doing an outside ceremony and maybe the reception is indoors, or just doing an all-outdoor wedding, is kind of how Ira was saying. You could, you know, of course have some cool drinks to serve, and you could have, you know, a lemonade stand or a tea stand, an iced tea stand, and, you know, maybe some personalized water bottles for guests to get before they go sit down for the ceremony.
Yep.
So that way, while they're waiting for the ceremony to start, they can have a cool drink to, you know, keep themselves comfortable outside. Another thing, you know, I went to my sister-in-law's wedding, and it was all outdoors, and it was a June wedding, so, you know, in Georgia. So it was a little toasty. It was a great night, but, you know, of course, Georgia kind of has some humidity and everything, and they served popsicles.
Oh, cute. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with King of Pops in Atlanta. It's a pretty popular popsicle company, and they have really unique flavors, so, you know, it was fun for them. They had a little King of Pop stand, and so all the guests got popsicles while they waited for the ceremony to start.
That's awesome.
And unique, and really great to keep cool. Another thing that I've been to some weddings where people will have the program as fans.
Right.
So you can fan yourself off with the program while you're waiting for the ceremony to start. And another big thing, which, you know, I hate mosquitoes. I cannot stand mosquitoes. And if you're getting married somewhere where, especially where it's humid, you know, you're going to have those pesky mosquitoes that will never go away.
Yep.
So the things that I have in my own backyard are some plants that help keep mosquitoes away. You could incorporate these plants into to your bouquets or just decor around, you know, the reception area or the ceremony area. There's some plants that I have that help are basil, rosemary, lavender, and I also have some citronella and catnip.
Wow.
So, you know, that's just, the lavender is great, of course, because it's really pretty and it can just stand alone and be pretty. But, you know, the rosemary and basil, and, you know, that'd be some nice extra greenery to add to any bouquets that you have.
Yep. Interesting.
And then also you could do little, I found these really cute, you know, mason jar candles. You can make your own candles to set around. So, you know, citronella candles can just have such a strong scent.
Mm-hmm,
so,
right.
You know, if you made your own candles, or you could find other candles that maybe have lavender in them, so it's not such a strong scent as citronella. It can be a little softer.
Perfect.
So, yeah, those are some things that I found to help keep your guests comfy and cool.
I love it. Then, of course, there's personal misters and things like that, which you can customize if you want to put your name on them or what have you, that they can take away as a keepsake. As you were talking, Lauren, about the popsicles, that made me think, too, of food trucks, which are very trendy nowadays, as catering for the wedding reception. And, of course, you can have that be your dessert or your main courses. And food trucks can keep your guests comfortable, too, because they can just serve themselves whenever they want to. And, you know, of course, you can have a food truck with popsicles or ice cream or something cool, too, if you're having an outside wedding. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those are great ideas. I love that. And I like the plants and the idea of, you know, being smart and savvy with that to help keep the pests away. Yeah.
And there's a lot that's cropping up right now about mosquitoes, of course, with all the everything in the news with mosquitoes. But there's a lot of that you can find, like you were talking about designing and creating your own candles that can help keep away the mosquitoes with essential oils and things like that that you put into the, and then drop a little candle in it to help. And your guests probably wouldn't know, but that's a great way of just incorporating that if you are doing an outside wedding.
So much nicer than handing everybody a can of off, too.
Exactly.
So much nicer.
Here's your can of DEET. Right. Yeah. Welcome to the farm wedding. Yeah. And watch your step. You know, so, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so you can make it, once again, you can make it kind of your style.
Yeah.
And have your guest in mind all at the same time.
I'm ready to go to a wedding.
I am too, with a cookie table.
Yeah, let's go.
With some rum.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to talk about our second sponsor for today's podcast, and then we will be back with our current event and chat about that for a little while. Our second sponsor for today's podcast is Ann's Cake Pan, again, based in the Philadelphia area. They are a family business that began as a hobby over 34 years ago. Today, two generations are working together handling the business, which has evolved and grown mainly through word of mouth. Although they design and decorate in a variety of styles, the bakers at Ann's Cake Pan are best known for cakes decorated with delicate handmade icing flowers made petal by petal and color coordinated to floral arrangements and your ceremony theme. If you would like a moist, old-fashioned cake, expertly decorated, sure to please all the senses, Ann's Cake Pan is the place. Great cake, great look, great price. To view cake samples and savor their entire menu, visit their website at annscakepan.com. All right, we are back to talk about our current event here in May 2016. We want to touch on the craziness going on in North Carolina.
Wow.
Yeah. Do we have to talk about this?
Well, we probably should. Good old HB2.
It's close to home here, so.
Yeah, being based in North Carolina. We can't wait for this election.
Yeah, we can't wait for this election cycle to be over. It's always crazy every 4 years, but this one is, woo!
This one is even more crazy. So, I think one thing about HB2 that has not been reported is there's so much more about this law than just the bathroom.
A lot of it is smoke and mirrors again, right?
That's right.
That the conservatives use hot button topics to try to rile the base, get them to come to the ballot box, or get them to be distracted, when what is really going on is what's not really mentioned in the media, is the heart of the bill. And it's not really about bathrooms.
Now, did you know that HB2 has an official name?
Okay.
You ready? The Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act.
Isn't that awful?
Now, let's think about this. They're hitting on bathrooms, right? And they're calling it privacy and security. Because there would needed to be a lot of security in regards to our bathroom usage. I mean, really?
You want to make sure those are the best 30 seconds to 5 minutes of your life.
I mean, how many reports have there been of
violence in bathrooms?
In bathrooms. Yeah. The only thing I can remember is wasn't he a senator in like Minnesota who...
Right, was doing the toilet paper code with some other guy. Yeah.
At the airport?
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing I've ever heard about.
And they were both, seemed like consenting adults, except for one happened to be a police officer at that time.
Right.
There was not a security issue. It was just more of a sexual issue. But and I mean, it wasn't security.
Right.
It was the politicians we needed protecting from then anyway.
Yeah.
So they call this HB2, the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act. But what, you know, we can recap on why this bill was actually passed so quickly. Was Charlotte, our wonderful city of Charlotte, just a couple hours down the mountains from us, was really trying to pass, they were trying to become, I think, more of like a Seattle or San Francisco, where they were trying to pass a living wage.
And they're a local, a large city.
But
they are not the capital city.
No. Raleigh is our capital. Charlotte is a very progressive, larger city. They were trying to pass an LGBT ordinance, discrimination, that you can't discriminate based on LGBT. Also, they were trying to pass a living wage ordinance to
boost the minimum wage to $15 and in the next, 10 years or so?
Yeah, it was something along those lines. And they, you know, like Seattle has done, like San Francisco, New York City, there's, you know, progressive areas that are trying to pass living wage ordinances. And Raleigh didn't like that. The people in Raleigh did not like that. So they quickly, came back together.
Called together the state legislature.
Right. And passed this bill within hours, really. It was very quick how quick this bill was passed. And what the focus has been is,
and let's just say for the record, is our state legislature more heavily Republican or Democrat?
More Republican.
Okay.
And we have a Republican governor.
Uh-huh.
And basically what has happened is they turn this into a really, you know, they've really turned it, what's been promoted in the media is this whole bathroom thing, where if you are only allowed to use a bathroom, the bathroom that matches your gender on your birth certificate. So, you know, we always carry our birth certificates around, right? That's what we all do. Right. If you're going to go anywhere, carry your birth certificate. Because, you know, I don't know. You just might be asked. So, you know, carry that sucker around, and you can only use the restroom that matches your birth certificate. So if you are transgendered or just gender identity, you know, you identify with a certain gender, but that doesn't happen to match your birth certificate, you must use the restroom that matches your birth certificate. Like there was a security problem, like we're saying earlier.
It's just sort of a random thing. But at the heart of this bill, they're really trying to squash Charlotte's plan as a locality within the state to make its own choices with regard to minimum wage, anti-discrimination laws, and other progressive ideas. So basically Raleigh was saying, no, we have you under our thumb and we are going to control the entire state, so don't get out of line.
That's right.
With regard to anything, quote unquote, progressive.
Exactly.
And that's what this bill was about.
That's what the bill was about, was really
controlling the entire state.
Right. Minimum wage cannot exceed what Raleigh says it can exceed, right. Basically. Also, there was another important part of the bill that's been overlooked is if your employer fires you because of race, religion, natural origin, or sex, under this legislation, you no longer have any remedy to sue an employer through appealing to North Carolina state courts. You must now sue your employer in federal courts, and you have much less time to file a complaint than you used to have. So,
what does that mean? What are the
less time to sue, more costs filing a lawsuit, much lower cap on damages. So, this bill impacts everybody. It impacts you on your race, religion, national origin, sex. So you can be fired by your employer.
Fire at will.
Right, because you're Jewish.
Right.
And they're Christian. And you cannot sue your employer through state court, which used to be the way you could do it. And it could be for a higher amount. Mm-hmm. It could be quicker. Now you have to go through federal court, which is a lot more problems, a lot more challenges to sue your employer through federal court. So basically you're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't just affect the transgender community. This bill affects everybody, which I think has really been underreported.
I do too. I think it's way underreported. I think another interesting note about this is, it's kind of hard to explain, but you know how the Republicans say they're anti-big government and they want states' rights? If you translate this down to say, okay, if that's the case, then why wouldn't you want each locality to have a lot of power within its own locale? Because it knows its own citizens and its own dynamics best. Why would you want to delegate all the power just to Raleigh,
mm-hmm.
to say what Charlotte's doing? And that's exactly what this bill is about. So it, to me, is kind of an anti-conservative policy. And that makes no sense with regard to them being, like, consistent with their message, you know, because they're saying, no, Raleigh's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big state, but we're the state government and we're going to make those mandates. And again, I'm going to squash you localities like a bug.
Yeah, and I keep thinking, when is it going to change? Because, you know, I know Charlotte has lost, was it PayPal that was coming to the region?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's been, the Greensboro, you know, has a really big convention. Not really, it's a pretty new, kind of like what you think of a convention center. But they bring in really big name acts like Bruce Springsteen canceled his concert there. I just heard a report on NPR last week about how that particular, like, it's not just a convention center, what you think of a traditional old convention center. This is a very new, hip center that brings in some really big name acts. It is a big driver of their economy. When they get performers in there, there's millions of dollars that go to the local economy for hotel rooms and gas and restaurants. And they really rely on this kind of convention center for their economy. And so many people are canceling. So many people have canceled upcoming smaller conventions there. They had the convention for the furniture. You know, North Carolina, of course, back in the day, there was a lot of furniture that was made here. And, of course, all of that is, you know, that's kind of gone away now. But,
yeah, it's billions and billions of dollars that's impacting the state, which impacts not just the state budget, but all the people working here, living here.
Mm-hmm. We know that Buncombe County has lost a lot of conventions.
Right.
Even Biltmore. There was a report not too long ago that Biltmore lost two or three really large conventions that were going to be coming here for like their trade show kind of thing. And it was at the Biltmores at one of their hotels there at the Biltmore property. They've lost a couple of those really big conventions for Buncombe County that was going to impact millions of dollars. So my point is, when is this going to change? You know, I know the governor's, he wants to save face and they don't want to go backsies on the bathroom thing because that's been such the focus. But at some point, when do you decide that, you know, your the economy of your state and these laws, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
What do you think?
I think there's a good lesson here for our politicians, though, too, is the fact that the LGBT community is used to being used as a scapegoat by this point. We don't like it any more than we did decades ago. But I think what Governor McCrory saw this time is that people aren't going to tolerate it, aren't going to stand for it anymore. And I think he saw us as an easy, you know, transgender identity as an easy scapegoat, easy target that he thought more people would identify with them to help him get his legislation through. But it backfired in his face. But he's standing strong and taking the bad direction with this and continuing to use our community.
In some ways, take, you know, the state economy down, no matter how hard, just because he has to save it. I think it's been really heartening, whether it's this legislation in North Carolina or the legislation before in Indiana, how many straight-owned businesses or straight-owned professionals or straight-owned organizations have really come forward and taken a stand.
Yes.
I think that's been amazing. You know, in Indiana, we saw NASCAR come forward, right, which you don't necessarily think of as being LGBT aware,
right?
And saying, "Hey, you know, we're going to cause some trouble here in Indiana if this legislation continues forward." And you know, that's huge.
And also, what I thought was fascinating too about this particular after HB2 was how many local, you know, areas. I know when I was in Dallas, Lauren, there was one of your local areas out there was also trying to pass a bathroom bill. I saw it on the news when I was there, and it was, you know, it's a small little town. I think it was outside of even Fort Worth that they were trying to pass a bathroom bill. And, you know, now we have the Tennessee law, and there was other places. Isn't there something in Mississippi also that's going on? And why did all of a sudden this catch so much fire and is like spreading? Is it because they're upset that marriage equality is, you know, we got that passed, and so we're almost a year out of marriage equality, so now we're gonna, you know,
they're trying to fight back against that,
right?
Well, I find it really, I think that is true. I think some of the legislation, like in Mississippi and Georgia, whether it's passed or they're trying to pass it, it includes providing exemptions on religious grounds for individuals, religious organizations, privately owned businesses to have the right to refuse service based on religious grounds. And that is speaking directly to the same-sex marriage equality that was passed last year by the Supreme Court. But it's dangerous legislation because it provides people an out if they want to discriminate and they say they're discriminating based on religious grounds. And you provide that right, not just to a church, like you're not saying, because it's already protected. The Catholic Church doesn't have to marry somebody at their altar if they say they're not willing to marry a gay couple. They don't have to marry them at their altar. They already have the right to say no to
that. That's right.
But this legislation is allowing privately owned businesses to say the same thing. And that gets to be dangerous. It harkens right back to Hitler time, you know, when you can say, you know, not only am I going to not bake your wedding cake, but I can discriminate in other ways. Like I can fire you, or I can refuse to school your children, or, you know, things like that.
Right.
It's dangerous legislation. And I don't know how far it goes. I do think I think it's a little surprising there wasn't more pushback immediately after the Supreme Court decision. But I think we're going to see that fallout for several years to come. I mean, I think that's kind of a natural part of the cycle.
Go ahead, Ira.
Oh, I was going to say what's terrible is that the government, by McCrory doing this, he's made something that was not an issue, a non-issue, an issue. And I have people, and I grew up in a community of very conservative country, you know, folk. Some of them were more progressive than you might think for the year, but making it a children's rights issue too by saying, oh, these people are predatory people who are in these bathrooms.
Right.
Transgender people have been using the bathrooms forever. And it's never been an issue. But the problem is it makes these nuts come out of the woodwork who are suddenly feeling like they should be private bathroom patrol. And it's not like we have, you know, armed security officers at every bathroom in North Carolina saying, let me see that birth certificate. Let's do a, you know, strip search to get into the bathroom. But I'm seeing, you know, conversations on Facebook where people are talking, well, I don't want those. Those transgender people are obviously hurting kids because that's what the politicians are saying. So they'll go along with whatever is going there because they love their children. They want to protect their children. They see this as a threat, but it's very misguided. Very uneducated.
And that goes into dangerous waters, I think, to label, you know, the LGBT community has dealt with this before, being labeled pedophiles and all kinds of stuff. To continue that stereotype and now applying it to transgendered people where there's absolutely no history of anything regarding that behavior, it's just, it's so distressing and upsetting and fits right in some ways to this election cycle, and that's sad. It's very sad.
And Ira, you and Marianne and Lauren also hit something too. Is one, there's never been a case of a transgendered person doing something inappropriate in the bathroom that fits their gender identity. Right? There's never been. It's never happened. For one, two. How are you going to police this? Mm-hmm. You know, and what is the ramification if someone uses a restroom that fits their gender identity that doesn't match their birth certificate? One, who is going to police this? Two, how are they going to police it? That sounds pretty awful. And, you know, so it's just, it's ridiculous. It's all smoke and mirrors.
It's crazy tax dollars we're talking about. But my point is it's dangerous waters. When you start labeling transgendered people as predators, that gives the crazies legitimate thoughts of, you know, legitimization that they can go hurt a transgendered person just on premise. That's dangerous.
That's very dangerous.
And it's so ugly that our politicians get away with this kind of message.
And it is affecting people in a very real way. Yes. I have a trans friend on who had posted on Facebook who is female to male who was using a public restroom and felt like they needed to go because of the law into the women's restroom and then ended up in a very uncomfortable situation because, you know, a mother or grandmother, someone saw them in there, had a meltdown. They're feeling very uncomfortable. They're trying to, you know, for the reasons they felt necessary, trying to comply with the law or feeling like they should do it. And then they have the cops or the mall, I think it was probably the mall police, who called in to start to question the situation. It's just really, it really is affecting people. It's not just a news issue, a news story, but there are real people.
There really are. Yeah. The ramifications are huge. And going back, Marianne, to like the religious freedom bills where businesses can choose who they want to work with or not. It's like you don't go into business if you're, say, a local baker or florist, or you don't go into the business of serving a few, you know, serving the people that you want to serve. You go into business to serve your community, and that makes up everybody. And when does it stop? Does it stop with LGBT couples? Does it stop with interracial couples? Does it stop with, you know, again, different religious preferences? Where does it stop? You know, and
you're talking not just about, I won't do business with you because you're an LGBT couple. You can then say, well, I won't do business with you because you're an organization that works with LGBT couples.
Right.
Oh, well, I won't work with you because you're a country that acknowledges LGBT couples or this religion or whatever. And then we've just become a world of being broken up and discriminatory. It makes no sense. It just keeps escalating.
So this is a good reminder to our couples that we say this a lot at our expos, that you can get married in the morning and you can be fired in the afternoon for being LGBT, or in some cases you can go to the wrong restroom and have a problem.
Right.
So it is so important. We go back, we harp on this at our expos, that it's so important that you make sure that you hire businesses that are supportive of our community. And just because we have marriage equality does not mean that we have that we are all, you know, we're there. We're all the way there. We're not. We're going to be fighting these little issues all the time, I think. I think little things like this will crop up and become issues. And so it's so important to make sure that you come and visit us at one of our expos so you can find wonderful, amazing LGBT-friendly businesses or use our resource online as well, because it's important. We think that we have marriage equality, we're done, we can plan these wonderful, fun weddings, and we're done. But there's still a lot more that you have to be mindful about when you're out there. And a good news, which I will post, I will send Ira the photo so he can post it because he's our smart
superhero.
Yes, superhero. That person sends. But we were at Lowe's, little shout out to Lowe's the other day, in our little small town here in North Carolina. And our daughter needed to go to the restroom. So I was taking her to the restroom. And they had the traditional women's restroom and men's restroom. And then they had a single stall where they had a lovely little placard out there that said unisex restroom. And so I was like, yay, Lowe's is on it. So because I cannot imagine how awful it must be if you are transgender and you're standing there having to use the restroom and trying to decide, oh my goodness, if I go into this restroom, I'm going to get some crazy looks or people are going to say something to me. If I use this restroom, then we might have some weirdo, you know, person who wants to cause a fuss. But then I finally just have a single stall, one that's open to whomever that would like to go in and just do a basic thing, just go to the restroom.
Or, you know, if you're transgendered and you have a child and the child really needs to go.
Right.
And the child isn't old enough to go by themselves, and you're trying to figure out which bathroom to take them into. I mean, you know, the whole issue broadens.
Right.
It's not just a simple thing.
And once again, there's never been an issue.
Right.
Of a transgender person using a restroom and having...
Acting inappropriately.
Right. And now it's become such a national hot button topic. And also, I'm sure, I mean, there's a million horror stories out there if you are transgendered that you've had instances in restrooms and things like that that didn't make the news or that we're not aware of.
Or something happened to you.
Or something happened to you as a transgender person.
Yes.
You know, where you did feel uncomfortable or you weren't sure which restroom you were supposed to use or you got bullied because of, you know, of being transgendered, or there was violence. I mean, you know, all we can go on and on about transgendered folks, you know, the violence and all of that. And it's terrible. It is something that the good side is it's becoming a little bit more newsworthy, although the news coverage is, you know, kind of crazy with HB2. But what we really should be talking about is the bullying that goes on for transgendered people and just gender identity and all of that. There's so much there, so complex, but we cannot forget that, you know, that's a big deal too.
Oh, that is the heart of it. That's the heart of the big deal. And the fact that it's being turned around to this is atrocious. And like I said, our politicians keep getting away with it. So not only do we have to remain diligent using resources like Rainbow Wedding Network to finding our wedding vendors, but we also have to remain diligent and get out there and vote wisely to change these things.
Yep.
All right. So thanks everybody for listening into our podcast today. Again, we are the team from RainbowWeddingNetwork.com. Please do visit us online. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/RWNcom. And of course you can visit our sister site, SameLoveSameRights.com, for the full event calendar of our national tour of LGBT wedding expos. We hope to see you out there soon. Take care.